It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning we hear about a new play that honors those who lost their lives at the Upper Big Branch mine disaster 10 years ago.
Coal miners helped build this country and they should be treated as such. And right now what they're doing is they're blocking trains with their bodies in order to get their benefits or in order to get their last paycheck. And I just think workers should be treated better than that.
But first, these coronavirus updates. This is West Virginia Morning. Health departments from six West Virginia counties under an expanded order from Governor Jim Justice are quickly enacting new policies aimed at stopping the spread of the coronavirus. Dave Mistich has more.
In the Eastern Panhandle, Berkeley, Jefferson, and Morgan counties were placed under an expanded executive order Friday, following a cluster of COVID-19 being found in the region. By Saturday, Governor Justice added three more counties to the directive: Kanawha, Harrison, and Monongalia. The governor's expanded executive order limits group gatherings to five people, directs all businesses to require employees to work from home as much as possible, and calls on local health departments to establish a maximum occupancy and proper social distance for all essential businesses. Both the West Virginia National Guard and the West Virginia State Police have been directed to assist areas under the order. Counties have quickly responded to the governor's order by enacting stricter guidelines for businesses in their respective areas. Health departments are limiting the number of customers at grocery stores and other businesses at any given time, as well as offering other guidelines to ensure the well-being of employees and customers. Some counties are directing hotels, motels, and Airbnbs to require a minimum stay of 14 days, excluding healthcare workers. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich.
For more information specific to your area, visit us online at wvpublic.org. A nursing home patient with underlying health conditions has become the third person to die from the coronavirus in West Virginia. The Department of Health and Human Resources says the 76-year-old man was a resident of the Sundale Nursing Home in Morgantown, where 21 residents and 8 staff members tested positive for the virus. The state's two other deaths involved an 88-year-old woman from Marion County and a Jackson County resident with several underlying health issues. As of Sunday evening, DHHR was reporting 324 confirmed cases. As coronavirus cases continue to increase throughout the Ohio Valley, rural hospitals are preparing for a potential surge of COVID-19 patients. But as Liam Niemeyer reports, these hospitals are having to make tough financial decisions or risk closing down altogether.
The past 2 weeks have been brutal for Ohio Valley hospitals. St. Clair Healthcare in Moorhead, Kentucky furloughed 300 employees. Appalachian Regional Healthcare in East Kentucky is furloughing 500 employees, and Williamson Memorial Hospital in West Virginia had planned to close this month before being bought out in bankruptcy proceedings. David Hess is CEO of WVU Medicine Reynolds Memorial Hospital in Glendale, West Virginia. He says much of this has stemmed from a response to the pandemic. States have suspended elective surgeries.
It really cripples a smaller community hospital.
Hess says elective procedures like joint replacements and colonoscopies make money for rural hospitals to let them operate other things that lose money, like emergency rooms. Suspending these procedures frees up beds and equipment for coronavirus patients, but it puts rural hospitals in a difficult financial situation with lost revenue. Hess says his hospital is considering taking out loans.
I don't want to see anybody get laid off, and I don't want to have to take away anybody's hours, because I know that's how they live and I know that's what they depend on. So that does worry me at night.
The Ohio Valley has already lost at least 21 hospitals over the past 15 years, representing more than 1,000 hospital beds. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Liam Niemeyer.
A new report shows the Ohio Valley is likely to feel the negative physical impacts of COVID-19 sooner rather than later. That's because the region's mix of major industries and tax structures make it especially vulnerable. Becca Schimmel has more.
A report from the Brookings Institution finds that because many Kentucky and Ohio cities have more industries in what Brookings defines as high risk, the region will feel a more immediate fiscal impact. Michael Pagano is an author of the report and is the director of the Government Finance Research Center and the dean of the College of Urban Planning and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois in Chicago. He says 5 cities in Ohio and 3 in Kentucky will feel the most immediate economic effects of COVID-19.
People are not working, therefore they're not getting paid, or at least those that are not getting paid aren't contributing to the tax base of the city. And consumption, as we know, has really dried up.
Pagano says Kentucky and Ohio cities depend more heavily on income and sales tax rather than property tax for the revenue. According to Brookings, cities with a heavier reliance on property tax will still feel the fiscal impact, but it will likely come later. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Becca Schimmel.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:49. A chance of rain early today, becoming partly sunny with highs in the 60s. Chance of rain in the north tonight with lows in the 50s. Tomorrow, a chance of rain statewide with highs in the 60s and low 70s. Support for WVPB is provided by the CAMC Foundation, keeping families together at the CAMC Foundation Hospitality House with low-cost lodging when a patient must receive medical care away from their home community. More information at camcfoundation.org. Yesterday marked the 10-year anniversary of the Upper Big Branch mine disaster. On April 5, 2010, 29 men who worked at an underground coal mine in Raleigh County, West Virginia, were killed. Upper Big Branch was one of the deadliest mining disasters of our lifetime. On the latest episode of Inside Appalachia, we honor those who lost their lives. But because of the coronavirus, families aren't supposed to gather in big crowds this year to memorialize the dead. The pandemic has also impacted a play about the families affected by the tragedy. It's called Coal Country, and it was being run at an off-Broadway playhouse in New York City. The dialogue is drawn from interviews with people who worked in the Upper Big Branch mine and those who lost family members there. Jeff Young of the Ohio Valley Resource spoke with the playwrights just before the production was paused.
In the play Coal Country, actors address the audience directly from a spare set. They recall the Upper Big Branch disaster and the loss it left behind.
I had 34 years in coal mining. My dad was a coal miner, grandpa, dad, me, and then my son, Gary Wayne.
Ambulances galore, fire trucks, police cars, state troopers, and I literally fell to the floor.
I got a video of Corey on my computer. He shot it underground to explain to his girlfriend what he'd done every day. And I sit there and I cry from time it starts to time it finishes.
The characters are based on real people. Nearly every word of dialogue comes directly from people who worked in the Upper Big Branch mine or who lost family members there. The playwrights, Jessica Blank and Eric Jensen, call it documentary theater. Shortly after the play opened, the husband and wife team invited me to their Brooklyn apartment and settled into a sofa to explain their work process. At first, Blank said, she wondered if she would even get people to agree to talk with her. They were not returning her calls.
And I finally figured out after a couple of weeks of this, I said, you know, I think that this is a community where you have to show your face. And, you know, that just getting a phone message from some person in New York being like, hey, I'm doing a project. Do you want to talk to us? Isn't going to do the trick.
So in April 2016, she traveled to a Charleston, West Virginia courthouse. There she sat with family members of victims as Massey Energy's CEO, Don Blankenship, was sentenced for conspiracy to violate mine safety rules.
I think what happened is that word got around that we were okay after those first few interviews, because then we started sitting down with more and more folks.
I'm from the
the rural Midwest and, you know, grew up in a small town.
That's Eric Jensen.
And so, like, I immediately related to people kind of on that level. You know, I felt very, even though I'm from Minnesota, I felt very, very connected to West Virginia. And West Virginians are just amazing storytellers anyway, so.
Like, every experience we had sitting with every person we sat down with was incredibly powerful and incredibly eye-opening and incredibly moving. I mean, I learned so much from everyone that we talked to. We learned a lot about coal mining. We learned a lot firsthand about unions and deunionization and the deunionization of this particular area. And, you know, I mean, we learned a lot about humanity, as we often do when we do this kind of project.
My thing about it was I learned a lot about grief. But during the course of doing this, I lost both my dad and my uncle. And I think that was when I finally understood what we were writing and finally understood what it was like to be in that community. And it broke my heart open. And thank God for Steve's music.
Steve is singer-songwriter Steve Earle, who is also on stage during the performances. He's a sort of one-man Greek chorus whose songs echo the character's loss and hint at deeper themes. In this reworking of the ballad John Henry, for example, Earle weaves in stories of the decline of union representation among coal miners.
Well, union come and tried to make a stand. West Virginia miners voted union to a man. You'd never know it now, and that was then. The union come and tried to make a stand. Then I come to brawl and all the...
It occurred to me, watching this in an audience that I presume is mostly New Yorkers, that this is an opportunity to perhaps overcome another divide in the country, which is the strong divide between urban and rural America now. Do you think you're moving the needle on that discussion at all with this work?
I certainly hope so.
That would be a privilege. That would be a privilege to move the needle on that discussion.
I certainly hope so. I think it is a needle that needs to be moved. The things that people say sometimes about the rural working class are shock, otherwise really thoughtful people, are shocking to me. And I think it's a really big blind spot that mostly comes from not having any contact.
You know, people have dignity, people have history. You know, whether you're pro coal or against coal or whatever, like, coal miners helped build this country.
Built the buildings that we're sitting in.
You know, and coal miners help build this country, and they should be treated as such. And right now what they're doing is they're blocking trains with their bodies in order to get their benefits or in order to get their last paycheck. And I just think workers should be treated better than that.
Eric Jensen and Jessica Blank wrote the play Coal Country about the Upper Big Branch disaster. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Jeff Young.
And on the latest podcast episode of Inside Appalachia, you can listen to more stories about the Upper Big Branch mining disaster. This episode looks back at some of the lessons that were learned about mining safety in investigations that followed the tragedy. You can download the podcast at wvpublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our news director is Glennis Board. Brittany Patterson produces our show. I'm Teresa Wills.